Good morning. It is good to be with you this morning. You have been in the midst of a series about following God with reckless abandon. And today, I want to tell you the story of some people who did follow God with a reckless abandon. If you have a Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 9 and keep it open for reference. It's the passage that I'll be focusing on today. But rather than reading it to you, I want us to enter the story and hear it from the perspective of someone in the story, a woman who had been ill for 12 years. Now, a few comments before we get going in Matthew 9. In this passage, we see two different categories of people. One group includes those who are embracing Jesus and this new kingdom that he's launching. These are people who are following God with a reckless abandon, if you will. And the other category are the Pharisees, as well as some of John the Baptist's followers. And all of these folks are struggling with Jesus because they don't want to let go of the things that they hold dear. They're not ready to surrender themselves to Jesus. So listen for these two groups as we enter the story. And as I tell the story, pay attention to whatever part of the story catches your attention. Jesus was a storyteller. And I've often wondered why he was. And I think it's because stories can get at our heart and our heads in a different way than other kinds of teaching. And so as you pay attention to the story this morning, just notice any part of the story that's particularly interesting to you, because it's in that place in the story, I believe, God has an invitation for you, and we want to be attentive to his spirit. Now, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to put this scarf either around my shoulders or on my head, and so when I say amen, as long as I have the scarf around my shoulders or on my head, I'm the woman in the story, and then when I take it off, I'll be back to plain old Pam, okay? Lord Jesus, as we take a look at this woman in Matthew and the other people surrounding her in this story, I pray your Holy Spirit would be at work in such a way that you would be whispering to people here, whispering through this story, ministering to them, challenging them, calling them in the places where you know they most need it. Lord, I pray we would learn from her and we would learn from your word and that your word would come alive to us this morning. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The first I heard about Yeshua, you call him Jesus of Nazareth, was when I went to hear John the Baptizer preach out in the desert. John was preaching the need for repentance, for people to turn from their lives of sin. I confess, I went out to see the spectacle. John is an odd man. Not all of us eat grasshoppers or dressing camel hair. And his preaching, it left me sad. You see, he told people to come to the river to be immersed, baptized, in order to be cleansed from their sin. But I could not be cleansed. For 12 years, I had what the doctors called an issue of blood. Going far from home was a challenge, but the worst part of my poor health was that because of this sickness, I was ceremonially unclean, which meant that I was unable to go and worship at the temple. The laws of God said that I could not be part of the people of God, and anyone who touched me would become unclean for a period of time, which meant that very few people touched me before any of the feasts that would take us to Jerusalem. It was a lonely existence. But one day, Yeshua, Jesus, came to be baptized. And on that day, I knew I wanted to know more from this Yeshua. He began teaching about something that he calls the kingdom of God, or simply the kingdom. And this kingdom, he explained, is open to everyone, even people who have been left out in the past. People who are poor or meek or depressed or perfectionists or dissatisfied or who suffer. like me. All of these people are welcome and blessed in this kingdom of God. All of them have purpose, meaning, a call from God. Yeshua Jesus explained that in this kingdom, all people will be honored and treated with love. Conflicts will be resolved fairly. The needy will be taken care of. People will judge one another with grace and mercy. People will live authentically without hypocrisy. In this kingdom, you don't need to worry about a thing because God will take care of you. And Jesus says, this kingdom of God is near and is in fact here. In essence, Jesus told us, people, I am ushering in this kingdom of God. Most of us loved to hear him teach. But we didn't. We couldn't really believe what he said. Someone like me, being part of the kingdom of God after having been unclean for 12 years, the idea was wonderful, but no. But then, after Jesus did so much teaching on the kingdom, I believe that teaching is what you call the Sermon on the Mount, after he teaches about this kingdom, he begins to live it. He shows us this kingdom of God and this life in the kingdom. He actually invites all kinds of people in, including those that the scriptures and our religious leaders would have said were people who were supposed to be left out. I remember the first one was Jacob the leper. Like me, Jacob had been unclean for many years because of his skin disease, and he ran up to Jesus and said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus did such an odd thing. He reached out and touched Jacob. And rather than Jesus becoming unclean by touching Jacob, Jacob instead became clean, healed. And in that moment, Jacob went from being Jacob the leper to being Jacob in the kingdom of God. Jesus' actions showed what he had been teaching. The true kingdom of God is open to everyone, and its very nature is life transforming. Next, a Roman centurion, a Gentile, comes to Jesus and asks for healing for a servant. A Gentile, a non-Jew, would have been someone spiritually on the outside, not the inside. And yet Jesus sees this man's faith and welcomes him into the kingdom of God. And then Jesus meets up with two men who are controlled by demons to the community. They are dangerously out of their minds until Jesus heals them and welcomes them into his kingdom. Jesus is wildly throwing open the doors of heaven, welcoming those of us on the outside, the outcasts, the locked out, to come in. Could that mean me? When Jesus came to town again, I would go to him and ask for healing. I soon heard that he was back and teaching at Peter's home, and so I went to ask for healing, but when I got there, I saw the house was full. People were standing outside, hanging out of the windows. I could not get in, especially without touching others and making them unclean. As I stood there, sad but desperately wanting to be healed, a group of young friends came up, laughing and struggling. And when I looked to see what was going on, I realized that this group was carrying another young friend who had been paralyzed in a horrible accident a few years before. The accident had been due to his own foolishness. People said that he got what he deserved. I don't know. But his friends had stuck by him, and his friends had often been there when I came to hear Jesus teach. And these young people seemed to be as hungry for the kingdom of God that Jesus was offering as I was. And now it seemed they wanted their paralyzed friend to experience this kingdom of God, and they were bringing him to Jesus. Like me, they realized that it would be impossible to enter the home where Jesus was. But rather than going home, I heard them say, there has to be a way to get him to Jesus. One young man said, let's dig a hole in the roof and lower him down to get him to Jesus. Young people these days, they're crazy. They took the stairs on the outside of the building, bringing the stretcher with their paralyzed friend with them. More than once, I thought they were going to drop him over the side. But somehow they didn't. And then they began to actually dig a hole in the roof. I can't believe I did this, but I wanted to see what would happen, and so I climbed the stairs behind them and got there just as the rubble was caving the hole in. These friends then took ropes down, took ropes and lowered their friend down, and as everyone below was yelling and screaming up at them, I was waiting for Jesus to yell. But instead, he laughed and said, well, what have we here? And then he said the strangest thing. He looked at the paralyzed young man and said, take heart, son, for your sins are forgiven. Somehow Jesus knew that this young man needed to know he was forgiven. But I wondered, is this kingdom of God that Jesus invites us to so open that it includes not just physical healing, but forgiveness of our past as well? His friends cheered when Jesus said that the young man's sin had been forgiven, but then they peered back down the hole, waiting for what they had hoped. And yes, Jesus then told the young man to get up and walk home. And he did. While I stood amazed and confused, I could hear the uproar of our religious leaders, the Pharisees. That's when the trouble began. I guess you could call a Pharisee the old guard. The Pharisees are good, deeply religious men, teachers. They're much better than the Sadducees in Jerusalem. The Sadducees are in it for the money and the power. They've sold out to the enemy Romans. Many of them don't even believe in God, and none of them believe in the afterlife. But the Pharisees, they deeply value, they treasure the scriptures. They work very hard to apply the scriptures in our day-to-day life. And in working to apply the holy scriptures, they have created many rules, laws for us to follow so that we and they do not break the law of God. When Jesus looked at that paralyzed youth and told him that his sins were forgiven, Jesus broke their rules. The Pharisees quickly yelled, blasphemy! He claims to forgive sin, but only God can forgive sin. They had a point. Only God can forgive sin. But I believe that Jesus had forgiven that youth his sin. Could that mean that Jesus... In any case, the Pharisees were outraged. Jesus had broken their rules. And Jesus kept breaking their rules. Later on in the day, Jesus goes and invites Levi, Matthew, a tax collector in league with the enemy Romans. Jesus invites him to become part of the kingdom of God. I confess, I wondered about that one. I was very excited that my friend Jacob the leper was invited into this kingdom of God, but a tax collector who steals our money and is in league with our enemy? And then Matthew throws a party for Jesus full of his wild tax collecting friends. And Jesus goes. And the Pharisees point out that Jesus is in the company of sinners breaking rules. But I guess what Jesus said about his kingdom being open to everyone meant it was open to everyone, even a tax collector. Speaking of Jacob the leper, when he was healed, he came and found me and said, "You must go to Jesus." And I said, "Jacob, I'm unclean." "So was I," he said. "But the Pharisees," Jacob said, "the Pharisees do not have the power of God. The Pharisees only have empty rules." I told Jacob I would seek out Jesus, and I was trying. How I wanted to be part of his kingdom, but I could not get to the man. Plus, I still knew I was unclean. I was again conflicted. How could I go to Jesus? But then just as I was wondering this very question, I heard a commotion. A large crowd was coming. Someone was running ahead of the crowd, and I yelled, "What's happening?" And the person yelled back, "Joseph, the synagogue ruler, his young daughter is dead, but the fool thinks that Jesus can bring her back from the dead." All I heard was, "Jesus is coming? Yes, Jesus is coming." Here was my chance. Jesus was passing by. It was a crowd filled with anxiety and emotion, and no one would notice if one unclean woman worked her way in simply to touch Jesus. In that split second, I knew that's what I needed to do. Simply touch him, and I would be healed. So I stood in the middle of the street as the crowd swelled around me, and I could see Jesus over to the right, and I kept jostling my way in his direction. I had not touched this many people in 12 years' time. But I kept moving until I was close enough to touch him. Oh, how I wanted to be part of this new kingdom. And I reached out and I grabbed a hold of his cloak. And immediately I knew I had been healed. I stopped dead in my tracks and I let the crowd go on around me. Until I heard the voice of Jesus. "Who touched me?" Some of his closest friends looked at him like he was crazy. "Who touched you? We're in a crowd. Everyone touched you." But I knew he meant me. I had broken the rules. I, an unclean woman, had touched many people and then touched him. I came and I fell at his feet to beg forgiveness, but he said, "Take heart, daughter. Your faith has healed you." He welcomed me into his kingdom with those words. And then he went on to raise that little girl from the dead. By the way, touching a dead person, very unclean. And then he gave sight to two blind men and speech to a mute. That little girl and those three men and I received new lives on the same day. But the Pharisees weren't happy. Jesus was breaking their rules. He was not doing what should have been done. He was touching unclean people, lepers, women with issues of blood, dead corpses, and he was offering forgiveness of sins, which only God can do. Finally, the Pharisees concluded that Jesus was in league with demons. And it wasn't just the Pharisees who were concerned that Jesus was breaking the rules. The followers of John the Baptist were concerned as well. John had given his followers strict instructions about fasting and repentance and coming before a holy God. But Jesus is partying with tax collectors. And so John's followers come and ask Jesus why he breaks the rules. Jesus, who's been trying to teach and show that this kingdom of God is something new, looks for one more way to explain this to John's followers. Wineskins. Everyone knows that wineskins can only be used once. When you make new wine, you must start with a new wineskin, and Jesus is making new wine in this kingdom of God. Some of John's followers embraced this. Others left shaking their heads. Me? From the moment I had grabbed a hold of Jesus, I knew I was part of a new kingdom. I was following Jesus with a reckless abandon, and I was in a community of others who were doing the same. We knew the healing of Jesus. We knew the forgiveness of Jesus. We knew what it was to go from being unclean to being clean, from being dead to being alive. And we knew that we could not hold this kingdom in. Every single one of us, once we had grabbed a hold of Jesus' kingdom, we were out there spreading the news, telling the world. The friends of the paralyzed man, they so much wanted their friend to enter the kingdom of God that they carried him there and dug a hole in the roof. And then the paralyzed man carried his mat through town dancing, telling of the healing power of Jesus. Matthew, the tax collector, invited his friends over to meet Jesus. The synagogue leader, whose daughter had died, he broke through the crowd, willing to look like a fool in order to bring Jesus to both his daughter and those in mourning. The blind men, Jesus even told them, "Do not tell anyone about this." But do you think they could keep it a secret? Of course not. How could you keep it a secret? They told everyone. And me? I'm telling you. For when you grab a hold of this kingdom of God, when you grab a hold of Jesus with a reckless abandon, you receive cleansing and new life and healing and the best kind of adventure, a new mission to bring in everyone you can find so that they too can experience this kingdom of God. Back to being Pam. So what part of the story caught your attention? And what is God's invitation to you in that? Perhaps it was the group digging a hole in the roof, and you think about somebody you know needs Jesus. What lengths are you ready to go to get them there? Maybe you were thinking about Jesus breaking religious rules. Maybe you were thinking about Jesus bringing healing. Maybe you're at a point where you need healing yourself. Maybe it's just something in the woman's story and her story connects to yours in some way. What story do you tell others to invite them in? Do you have a story of how God has forgiven you, healed you, changed you, given you new life, given you joy? Do you know that there's only one person who can really tell the story of what Jesus has done for you? And that's you. And if you don't tell the story of what Jesus has done for you, no one else will. Now, if you don't think you have a story to tell, tell the story of Jesus. Because kingdom people tell their story as well as his story. Let me pray. Lord, I pray that your spirit would be continuing to bring this story to mind over this coming week. And for those places, Lord, where you have an invitation for individuals, that you would not let that go. I pray, Lord, that people would, as they ponder that place, that they would meet you there. I pray for those who have a heavy heart this morning because of someone that they know needs you. They know they need you to touch that person's life. They know they need to get that person to you. And I pray, Lord, that you would be giving them an idea this week of what it means to cut a hole in a roof. And Lord, I pray for people who come this morning needing healing. They need emotional healing. They need spiritual healing. They need physical healing. And I pray that you would prove to be their healer. And Lord, for the people who have some other place, perhaps you came alive to them this morning. Perhaps they realize they have rules that aren't yours. Perhaps they realize that there's an invitation from you to live with reckless abandon that they have been ignoring for a while. And I pray, Lord, that we would be a people yielded to you, listening to the voice of your spirit, and that you would be moving among us. In Jesus' name. Amen.